Yeah, I guess. NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Australia. It's Tuesday, February 11, all day. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, and I'm here. Upset! In Larry Harmer Studios, giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's fucking it up like the Mavs today. Breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you. While repping Australia a little bit, that's what we do here. We don't take shit too seriously unless it involves our Aussies. A little bit. God damn it. Anyway, it is buyout season. It's waiver wire season. Everybody's getting bought out. Everybody's getting waived. Unfortunately, two Aussies included there. USA Basketball announced the squad that we're going to beat at the Olympics this year. That's pretty good. Giannis is a dad. We had 9 games today. So we're going to talk about all that, as well as all the usual dumbassery. That's not an iFold, mate. No, mate. Spud of the night. Pants in the evening. Bet on Lonzo Ball. We've also always got, the unpopular opinion of the day in Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. There's also Australian Player Watch. It's getting quicker by the day, goddammit. But also, because it's Tuesday, we've got a Shane Hill shoot your shot, light him up award, which is great. I might have to give it a bit of a tribute, eh? Anyway, we've got a pick and preview for all the games tomorrow as well. Brought to you by faceup.com.au. Go to faceup.com.au/NBA Australia for all your betting needs. And we'll close out today's show with a brand new Jingles HR for you. All right. Let's get to a big show, sad show. It's NBA Australia episode 408. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better watch out for the axe. If you are a bubble fringe NBA player, even with a guaranteed contract, that's right, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here with the daily whip around and, that's right, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, friend of the program, recurring guest, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, Frankston's own. The pride of Franger, carrying the torch of Dave Anderson, has been waived by the Mavs. Still gets all his money, obviously. But this is an order for the Mavs to sign the recently bought out Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. I always fucking hated that guy. Now I've got a better reason. I still love the idea of MKG because I still remember, like, you know, the draft at the time. I remember going, you know what? It's a two-player draft, Anthony Davis, MKG. Maybe you should take MKG. That guy's just a winner. Fuck that guy. Can't shoot, can't score. Rowdy's a fucking deadeye. Get a feeling the Mavs have made a horrible mistake. Anyway, so now we've got Rowdy and son of Bruce, Jonah Bolden, out there hoping that they catch on with some NBA teams out there. So a quick look at, I think I just did a really, really quick list off the top of my head on Twitter. About where Rowdy would be perfect. Philly, obviously, they just need shooting, right? And he'd be amazing there, actually. He's basically just the second coming of fucking Furkan Korkmaz, but Aussie and awesome. The Phoenix Suns, and they actually, the big problem with this at the moment is, who has roster spots open? You do see, you know, the simple fact that the Mavs had to cut somebody's because they had no roster spots. Same thing happening with Philly with Jonah, etc. So, Philly also, you know, trading James Ennis. They've just picked up little big dog, Alec Burks, so they're probably going to not sign Rowdy. But this is the idea. You know, Utah, Lakers, Grizzlies, the Magic. God damn, it'd be good there. Even the Golden State Warriors, I think they'd be, worth kicking the tires on Rowdy and seeing, oh, shit, maybe once Steph and Clay come back, we could have the splash triplets. Here we go. Just imagine your entire fucking wing rotation shooting over 50% from three. Actually, I also mentioned he could play center for Houston. He'd be fucking the tallest player on their squad. But at the same time, Houston just needs shooters as well, right? Like you see dudes like Ben McLemore thrift shop himself and Daniel House Absolutely shredding. And if you've got a fucking dead eye like Rowdy out there, Jesus, can't go wrong. But yeah, literally anywhere that needs, what, shooting D, rebounding, locker room legend, a little bit of wing size as well. And can, like, I mean, Jesus Christ, just last week he blocked the shit out of James Harden. So just keep that in mind there, contenders. Let's get Rowdy a ring now. Meanwhile, Mavs, you just made the shit list. I fucking love the Mavs. I love Luka. I love watching the Mavs. I love seeing Rowdy on the bench. Now you fucking pissed me off. I love Cuban. God damn it. Anyway, moving on before I get too emotional. Rowdy's been on the show a couple of times. He's a fucking legend. I feel bad. I feel bad for him. He's got his kid. His mum's over there at the moment hanging out. It's a bit shit. Anyway, hopefully he lands somewhere good. All right, USA Basketball, as mentioned at the top, announced their 44-man squad that's going to get beaten by Australia at the Olympics this year. LeBron and Chris Paul are back. It'll be the fourth time for LeBron if he actually, if he goes. Pretty interesting. They're going to do no tryouts as well, which is interesting. They're going to pare the list down to 12 and basically then go, all right, training camp. So they're going to pare it down early June, which is pretty wild. They're going to be made by a selection committee. And that'll be basically based on player availability and health, which is pretty interesting. Start of, June, if they want to get it down to 12, training camp would then have to start early July, which could be basically as little as 2 weeks after the finals, right? Olympics start July 24. So you want to have at least a couple of practices under your fucking belt. But I mean, look. You'd think that the best 12 out of it, you got your top tier, you've got LeBron, Kawhi, Steph Curry, James Harden, Anthony Davis. The second tier is probably made up of Dame, Clay, Kyrie, Rusty, Paul George. It'd be interesting. So Kevin Durant's an interesting one because I don't have him in the top tier just because I don't think he'd be healthy and I don't think he risks it by coming back for the Olympics. But fascinating question. Chris Paul is probably in that second tier as well. Personally, I'd have Bam in there as well. The third tier, you've got LaMarcus Aldridge, Dwight, Kemba, Mitty, and then probably Tatum. And then after that is pretty much everybody else. What I'm really interested in is the token Whitey that USA Basketball takes to Tokyo. Will it be Joe Harris? Perhaps Gordon Hayward? Maybe even Kevin Love? Who knows? But you just know the token Whitey's going to be on that squad. But the big question is going to be, like, in terms of their bigs, I mean, Dwight is actually on this list. JaVale's on this list. LaMarcus Aldridge, Miles Turner, Bam, obviously. And, yeah, going to wonder if they learned anything from the World Cup. And maybe, you know, where Kemba and Co. sort of fit in. They've basically named the entire squad that played the World Cup, so it includes Derek White, etc. It's going to be fascinating to see what this selection committee does just in order for these guys to get beaten by Australia anyway. That's pretty good. I don't know, what do you reckon? Do they take the best 12? Or, considering the late playoff runs of dudes like LeBron and Kawhi and Paul George, will they sit out? I feel like you'll see dudes like Kyrie in it. Probably Dame too. Maybe even Chris Paul. I don't know about LeBron, though. Anyway, we'll talk about that again later. Mentioned buyouts. Obviously, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist got bought out by Charlotte. So did Marvie Williams. Forgot to mention this one yesterday. He's going to Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. Yeah, it's a bit shit. But anyway, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist going to Dallas. I don't know why. They should have just played Rowdy more, you fucking cowards. But there's also some weird stuff going on in Minnesota, too. Amari Spellman and... he's not with the Wolves. He's talking it out at the moment. It was pretty interesting after being in the D'Lo Wiggins trade. It's pretty okay. It's pretty weird. Also, Evan Turner. He's out there going, I'm good. Should be on the Wolves. Maybe. Perhaps. Just isn't. Just not hanging out. So, a couple more bites coming down the pike, I'd say. Giannis Antetokounmpo announces the birth of his son, Liam Charles Antetokounmpo, which is pretty neat. Good job, Giannis. Congrats on the sex. And also, we all know what J.R. Smith has now been up to for the last 6 months. Hennessy is the official partner of the NBA. Good job, J.R. Good job. And finally, the fuckstickle Rent-A-Cop who claimed he was assaulted. Fucking giant big quote, air quotes on that by Masai Ujiri. Despite actual prosecutors bullshitting, calling bullshit on his claims about his bullshit claims that being assaulted during was a game six at Golden State. He's now filed a civil court claim because he couldn't get a criminal court case going. And, you know, like a fucking... It reads like some make-believe shit, if ever there was. A spurious fucking goddamn bullshit court case for the fucking ages. The Raptors, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, and the NBA are also named in the suit. They're all accused of failing to warn the guy of Ujiri's violent predisposition and propensity for physical violence prior to his assault on this fuckwit. Now, Masai has actually no propensity or anything like this violent predisposition. Like, that's basically racist shit for like, oh, this white prick was afraid of this black guy, essentially. And it's a whole bunch of dumb shit. So, yeah, fuck that guy. Someone fire him into the sun. Finally, Jason Tatum and Nikola Jokic were the East and Western Conference Players of the Week this week. Nice. The best bit of today, obviously not Rowdy getting waived, which fucking hurts my heart. Joel Embiid posted on his IG that picture, which was funny because he's like quietening the crowd. It's like, Joel, it's your home crowd. I don't know if you should be telling him to shush. Anyway, he then said, all love, and then added, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Okay. You're playing in Philly, Joel. Just, what? Just fucking win. They'll love you. Just look what happened to the Eagles. Jimmy Butler then replied to this thing saying, I know a place where villains are welcome. And Joel Embiid replied, damn right, my brother. Ah, well, we clearly know where Joel fell on the Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons sort of beef going on at the end of last year, don't we? Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff.
Interesting stuff.
That's right. All right, let's wrap some fucking games already, shall we? I'm going to fly through these today, too. All right, Charlotte beat Detroit in the single worst NBA game this season. I'm not just saying that it was. 87-76 in Charlotte. The Pistons shot 35%. The Hornets shot 37%. They made a combined 16 threes. That's fucked. Pistons had 21 turnovers. Kung Fu Thon was their lead scorer with 12. I love Thon with all my heart. Don't cut him, Detroit. 12 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks. He was literally their best player. Incredible. Incredible. Anyway, the Hornets, Miles Bridges, he had 18, whatever. 14, 11, and 7 for Devontae Graham, a.k.a. the yardstick by whether or not you can judge someone, whether or not they're watching a bunch of NBA. So, oh, he's having a great season. Yeah, 6 of 17 shooting is not great. 1 of 9 from 3. I love me some Devontae Graham, but let's just pump the brakes. And Scary Terry, 11 points. Oh, that's not bad. 4 of 13 shooting. Jesus. Detroit, I just spewed in my mouth. That's how bad this game was. 19-36 Detroit are. Charlotte, 16-36. Brooklyn beat Indy in an absolute rip snorter. 106-105 in Indy. Game winner from Spencer Dinwiddie after Suva. The Suvlaki King put Indy up following a big Joe Harris three that gave the Nets a lead. Suva came back down, got the go-ahead shot. Then Spencer with a nice step back with like fucking 3 seconds left. Indy couldn't get the game winner going. Bang. Wild final 30 seconds of this one. It was great stuff, though. Pacers only had 6 turnovers all game. Shot 7 of 30 from downtown, though. Suva had 23-10-11 for another triple-double. He's crushing it. 19 TJ Warren points. But Victor Oladipo continues his struggles. 12 points on 14 shots. El Presidente had 6 points on 3 of 11 shooting. That's where you lost it. Fuck. Dougie McBuckets had 13 points in 18 minutes. And Miles Turner. Disappointing year. I expected much more from Miles after the World Cup run. 15 points, 2 of 6 from 3, 5 rebounds. Suva's jumped ahead of him, leaps and bounds. Miles Turner just, I don't know, man. The Nets, look, they had 8 in double figures. They shot 40% versus 48.9% and somehow still won this. It's because they got to the free throw line. They shot 32 free throws to 11 in Indy. That's fucking crazy. 21 and 11 assists for Spencer Dinwiddie. And the game winner, Sweet Baby Carrot, started off great guns. Ended up shooting 4 of 13 for his 11 points. God damn it, Sweet Baby Carrots. Go the Fro, Jared Allen, 13 and 8. Red Bull Prince, Taurine. He had 15 and 5 of 15 shooting for 14 points. Jesus. Joe Harris went 4 of 7 from downtown. DeAndre Jordan, though, was pretty great. 11 points, 19 rebounds. Shit, that's crazy. The best bit was when Mr. Free Throw, one of the indie dudes, dapped him up. It's like, yeah, thanks for that, man. DJ hit the next one and then went looking for the dap. Like, hey, man, I hit the next one. Where's my fucking high five? It's good. Anyway, India now 31-23. They've lost 6 in a row. Fucking hell. And Brooklyn at 24-28. Holding on to that number 7-8 spot, no worries. Atlanta lost in Orlando, as predicted on this here program. Atlanta on a back-to-back, 135-126. No defense in this one. Did you hear that score? 135-126 in regulation. Both teams shot over 52%. They combined to hit 34 threes. It's the exact opposite of fucking Detroit-Charlotte. Amazing. Anyway, the Hawks, Trae Young at 29-9. He was unreal. Bit off shooting-wise. 3 of 11 from 3. But John Collins, that's a tall cocktail, at 22-8. Kevin Huerta had 12 and 13 shots. The weird old new look bench featuring former Hawks El Jefe Teague at 8 points, 11 assists, and Dwayne, dead man, 14-9. Pretty cool. And just old-ass Vince Carter hit 3 threes too. So pretty crazy. Cam Reddish had himself in the third quarter, had 11 points in the third quarter. That was literally all he scored all game. He's a weird one. Anyway, the Magic Vooch at 24-9-9, crushed it. 26-9-4 for Air Gordon, Aaron Gordon. Evan, don't Google me, Fournier had 22. And T-Rolls came off the bench, had 21, hit 5 threes. And Markel Fultz is cruising along, 13-8, very handy. Good win for Orlando, 15-40 Atlanta, 23-31 Orlando. Minnesota, Toronto played a really like wildly entertaining game for the first half. 137-126, Toronto ended up winning this. No Marc Gasol, no Serge Ibaka. Raptors went with a very Houston-y kind of starting lineup of Big Booty Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet of the Fightin' Van Vleets, the OG Ananobi, Pascal Siakam, and Rondé Hollis Jefferson. That's a little bit of size giving up against someone like Karl Anthony Towns. Luckily for everybody, Karl Anthony Towns is a fucking pushover and can't assert himself. And what do we call Kat here on this fucking here program? The big girl's blouse. That's right. 23 points for Kat on 5 of 13 shooting against no one bigger than fucking 6'8". Get fucked. 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 turnovers. Thanks for coming. D'Angelo Russell. First game as a Wolf. 22 points. That's good. He was a minus 22. That's bad. 7-12 shooting. That's good. 0 rebounds. That's bad. 5 assists, Jimmy. That's good. 6 turnovers. That's bad. It's the classic D'Lo. Enjoy this experience, Minnesota fans. You're going to fucking hate the guy. Nah, he's fine. 15s for there's only one. Hernan Gomez, Malik Beasley as well, the new guys, and Jarrett Culver. And Bloodsport played as well. James Johnson, 8.7 rebounds, 3 assists in 28 minutes. Stay away from all that cheese up there, Bloodsport. We know how you are. Raptors, they shot 57%. Oh, that's that sweet Cat and D'Lo defense right there. Siakam was great. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later. 34 points, 21 for my mate Rondé. I've met him a couple of times. He's a legend. 25-12 for the OG Ananobi. He was very good too. 27-11 assists for Big Buddha Kyle Lowry. Not bad. And Freddie VanVleet, the Fightin' VanVleet, had 16. Just a dominating performance without their big men in that second half. Crazy game. 40-15. 15 straight wins for Toronto. Minnesota suck, and they're 16-36. Milwaukee, here it's Algonquin for the good land. Beat the Sacramento Kings, 123-111. No Giannis, and the Bucks were fine. Even after that second quarter where they scored only 19 points and suddenly got down. But Bledsoe and Mitty, Chris O'Middleton, sorted them out at the start of the fourth. They were 90-88 down to start the fourth and then went on a 13-0 run. And Sacramento couldn't hit anything. Bledsoe put on a Bledsoe, hit back-to-back three-pointers. They were up 101-90 out of nowhere. And that was pretty much the game from then on. The Kings, Harry Barnes at 23-17-11 for De'Aaron Fox. Buddy had 15 off the bench. The Bucks, Mitty 28, Bledsoe 28, 20 for Lopez as well. Sacramento 21-32. Milwaukee, an amazing 46-7. That's insane. Without Giannis. Good stuff. Utah beat Dallas in Dallas 123-119. It was not as close as that sounds. The Jazz beat the shit out of Dallas all game until late. In the fourth, we all got just a bit squirrely. Dallas' bench made a bit of a run, but whatever. Hardaway the Lesser had 33 from the Mavs, 5 of 10 from downtown. The Extreme Zingameel.
Extreme Zingameel.
Had 28 points, came on 7 of 17 shooting, 3 of 9 from downtown, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks. Was guarded by Jingles at points, though. So, don't know how much of a dominating big man the Supercharged Zingerberger is.
Supercharged Zingerberger.
Anyway, set the shit one. Curry also chucked in 15. The Yaz, Jordan Jeremy Clarkson. Yeah, 25 points. He had 8 assists as well. He was very good in this game. 23 for Bojan and Donovan Mitchell. 17 and 16 for Rudy Gobert, the Savatawa. And we have point Jingles in this game. No Mike Conley and the Jazz win. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so, Jimmy! Didn't think so. 8 assists for Jingles. Amazing. Dallas, 32-33. Continue to suck at home. Wait, that's not right. 32 and 23, Jimmy. Jesus. Is that even right? Fucking hell. How can I not read my own right? 32 and 22. I don't even think that's right. Not 32 and 22. I'm just a moron. Utah, however, 35 and 18. Got that one right. All right, what else? San Antonio lost in Denver, which was hilarious because Denver were down 23, 127, 120. A replay of last year's first round. Spurs were smashing them in the first half. Then Denver woke up from their stoned haze and the Spurs realized they were in fucking Denver and were like, oh, shit. We go figure out my weed for after this. Also, altitude fucking sucks. The Nugs were down 23, fought all the way back, took the lead. And what do I say on NBA Australia? The hardest thing in basketball is fighting all the way back from a huge deficit and then keeping a lead. That's exactly what happened. They gave it back up. But then they had another massive run. 15-0 in the fourth. They blow it open. The Spurs missed 7 straight shots. It was just heartbreaking. But I also love moments like that because it's great to listen to the team's commentary who's blowing the lead and just how fucking pissed they get at it. It's amazing. I love that shit. So anyway, tough one for the Spurs, but also really good tanking. Just saying, this was yesterday's Outback Takehouse. The Spurs are tanking. Anyway, Spurs 33 assists, hit 16 and 32 from three. Amazing stuff. Still couldn't get over the hump. LaMarcus Aldridge had 33 points. DeJounte Murray, pretty good game. 9 assists, 14 points, 15 for Derek White. Deza. But without DeRozan, no DeMar for the Spurs. No real killer to sort of help finish it off and just get much-needed buckets down the stretch. Patty was on the bench as well. I don't know what the fuck. I reckon Pop literally is tanking. So there you go. Nuggets, 34 assists and 18 of 35 from three. This was a fun game to watch. Watch the second half. It was very good. Joker, 19, 13, and 8. Jammer Jamal Murray, 26. He is on a fucking tear since he got back. Averaging 30 points a game, basically. 6 assists. He was great. 22 for Paul Thrillsap. He's back. Off the bench, amazing. It's 16 and 4 for Monty Morris. 6 and 9 shooting. Nice. Good win for Denver out of nowhere. This Denver team is so fucking squirrely and have been all year. They just win some random games and then also just blow shit that should be fucking way easier. It makes no sense. Anyway, San Antonio 22 and 31. Denver 38 and 16. Right, final two games, blowouts. Miami smoked Golden State 113-101. Smashed him in the second. That was that. The Warriors shot 39%. 26 for Damian Lee. Wiggins just out there wigging it up. 18 points on 6 of 14 shooting. Thanks for coming, Andrew. 4 assists, 2 turnovers. The Heat 21-10, 5 and 4 for Jimmy Butts. That's a good game. Bam had 13-11-7. And Crowder, the new Heater, he had 21-8. Iggy played 17 minutes and had 2 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Handy. Good game for you to roll your new dudes out there and just get some fucking Miami time into their legs, huh? Golden State 12-42. Miami 35-18. Looking great. Phoenix got shit pumped by the Lakers in the final game of the day. 125-100. Little bit of a seesaw. Phoenix would make a run. Lakers would give them the old clamps and shut them down again. But then there was a big run in the middle of the third from Rondo and the rest of the Lakers got them over the hump. No 8 nor bangers for Phoenix. So they basically started Cheick Diallo at center. And how did that work out? A 25-point loss. 18 and 6 for Michael Bridges, the other Bridges, burning him. Booker had 10 points. We'll talk about him later. And Kelly Oubre was a minus 34 off the bench. Thank you, Kelly. That's a girl's name. 10 points on 9. Lakers, Anthony Davis was very good. 25, 10 and 5. Pretty good. Rondo, though, 23 points. 9 of 13 shooting. He was incredible. 6 assists. LeBron had 17, 8, 9, and 14 points, 15 rebounds for Dwight Howard. Funny times. But this was a really good game for the first half. And then, yeah, the Lakers just gave him the old clamps and went, It's like they basically fucked around in the first half and then focused and kicked their ass. Phoenix are 21-33. Lakers 40-12. Good stuff. All right, let's do some NBA Australia Pro performance of the night.
That's not a night. That's a night.
That was the game-winning dagger. Spencer Dinwiddie, can you believe that? 14 points in the fourth quarter, gets the Nets home. Big win. But at the same time, he shot like shit the rest of the game. And if he had been better, he wouldn't have had to actually hit the game winner. I'm just saying, 4 of 15 shooting. Jesus, Spencer, you're the reason they were down. tough scenes, but no, I want to give this to, so Spencer is right up there. I want to give this to Pascal Siakam, though. There was a moment in the third quarter against Minnesota where he just went, oh, yeah, fuck yous, actually. I am an all-star. 34 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals, but shot 14 of 21. Nailed a bunch of threes, went 6 of 8 from downtown. And Kyle Lowry helped out as well, obviously going 4 of 7, 9 of 16 overall. But look, the Raptors are just... This is the thing about the Raptors. He put them on their back, on his back in the third quarter. I mean, they could have barfed the game away. You're up 14. Well, you know, you've won 14 straight, rather. You're at home. This one's a bit of a tough one. The Wolves are all excited about the new lineups. But this is the thing about Toronto. Someone, doesn't matter if it's Lowry, Siakam, Van Vliet, even OG today, someone puts their balls on the line every fucking game and gets them a win. And it's pretty awesome. And don't look now, but they're 40-14 and on track to win 60 games. Fucking awesome. So there you go. I feel like the approved performance of the night is the team that won their 15th straight game, the Toronto Raptors. Not just an individual performance, but Siakam was big, but 15 straight. Incredible stuff. Good job, Raptors. Good job, Siakam. And good job, Spencer Dinwiddie. Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
The outpouring of grief for Ryan Rowdy Brockoff shows that he is definitely not old mate, no mates. It does, however, throw into stark relief the reaction to Jonah Bolden being cut. I'll just throw that out there for you, you know? Anyway, but actual old mate, no mates for today. My fucking Twitter is still just rolling over while I'm sitting here as well, just because of the couple of rowdy tweets I had. So he's beloved, I'll tell you that much. But old mate, no mates for today is actually Bojan Bogdanovic. You know, gets a nice back-to-back win today. After his game winner yesterday, though, even his fucking teammates can't figure out the difference between Croatian Bojan and Serbian Bogdan. Because old mate fucking Manny Moutier tweeted at Sacramento's Bogdan, congratulating on a sick game winner. And it's like, Bojan's probably just sitting in his locker literally next to him going, and Manny be like, hey, did you see that? He's like, see what? So, oh, I sent you a tweet. I was like, hey, it's good job, Bogdan. He's like, my name's Bojan, you fucking idiot. Yeah, anytime your teammates don't know your name and confuse you for a Serbian as opposed to the Croatian, it's a bit old, mate. No, mate. Bojan's a legend, though. Good on him. All right, spud of the night.
Spud of the night.
Devin Booker, 2 of 11 from the floor against the Lakers today. 0 of 4 from downtown. 5 assists, 3 turnovers, 10 points. Gee, maybe you should have practiced against double teams, bro. But also, look, that's a good spud-worthy performance. But that entire fucking Charlotte-Detroit game. The entire game, Reggie Jackson went 2 of 11, 3 of 11 for Markieff Morris. I mentioned the fucking Devontae Graham, the team that won. He went 6 of 17 and 1 of 9 from 3, while Scary Terry went 4 of 13. There's 11 points. The single worst game that you could have watched this year. That's unbelievable. I love you, Thon, but I'm not going to watch that again. Jesus. Pantsing of the night. The Nuggets. Pants the absolute fuck out of the old Spurs, didn't they? That was like dacking a teacher. 64-34 run. They were down 23. Absolutely amazing. They absolutely dacked them. It's definitely like dacking a teacher and blaming it on somebody else. But also JaVale got by Cam Johnson, literally dunked on to the nth degree. But also the real pants of the night was the if you watch the awesome slow-mo video of Bojan, just mentioned him, nutmegged KP, the extreme zinger meal over there.
Extreme zinger meal.
By putting it through his legs while still holding the ball and passing it around his legs like he was a fucking Croatian Harlem Globetrotter. That's fucking amazing. It's like the Dubrovnik fucking Globetrotters or something. Absolutely incredible stuff, Bojan. And, like, very funny. And you're like, oh, do you reckon he hates fucking KP? It's like, oh, I reckon he does. The old fucking Zagreb Globetrotters, what do you reckon? But Bojan putting it through KP's legs and then actually giving him a bit of a ball fake after he got the ball back and getting him off, and then Bojan getting a very nice assist. Very, very good pantsing stuff. All right, finally, better than Lonzo Ball once I get to the damn thing.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Today, Duncan Robinson came for Lonzo again. Duncan Robinson is on a fucking tear and a half. Today, 17 points on 6 of 14 shooting. Jimmy, what's so special about that? Well, he went 5 of 13 from 3, you see. Oh, Jimmy, that's pretty good, but it's nothing to really write home about and say that he's better than Lonzo Ball. Well, dear listener, this also came back. This came on the back of two games. This is three games straight where he's hit more than 5 threes in a game. He hit 6 of 9, nice, against Sacramento, and 6 of 15 against Portland, which is pretty fucking amazing. Three games, more than 5 made threes. Duncan Robinson, you legend. The most Lonzo's ever made in three games straight was 13. So absolutely smash that. Good job, Duncan Robinson. Better than Lonzo Ball. Love that. All right, what else we got? Yeah, Nuz? Let's do that. Aw. Let's listen to Rowdy. Just going to make myself sad. Yeah, Nuz, after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yeah nahs. Are you going to be all right, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. As long as Rowdy gets picked up, yeah. Right, this is where we take NBA storylines and decide whether more yeah or more nah. Number one is Victor Oladipo. The problem in Indy. They've lost 6 games straight and... Wait, no. Yeah, 6 games straight. They've lost his... He's appeared in like the last 5. They won the first game he played. They've lost every game since. Yeah, nah. Well, look, he's kind of... He's not the problem, but he's actually like the pebble in the shoe of making them go, fuck, oh, wait. Because, you know, it's fucking hard to reincorporate a ball-dominant guard. Even though you'd think that, you know, he and Malcolm Brogdon be sort of perfect next to each other, El Presidente is having some bad games at the same time, and that's not helping fucking matters at all. But obviously, the idea of El Presidente and Malcolm Brogdon and Victor Oladipo playing side by side was always going to be a bit of a challenge. But without Victor out there, and without being able to have, like, training camp and sort of figure it out, they've got to kind of do it on the fly. So he kind of is the problem, but it's not like... He's bad, you know, it's just a tough one. But it's always a surprise. You turn around and go, fuck, man, Indy lost 6 straight. Jesus. And you're like, yeah, I guess, fuck. That's what happens when you got to reincorporate somebody. Speaking of incorporating nobodies, are Detroit now the worst team in the NBA? Yeah, nah, yeah. I think they are. No Andre Drummond, no Blake Griffin, no Duckman Luke Kennard, no D-Rose. It's literally fucking Reggie Jackson and Markieff Morris, and that is not the recipe for a good basketball team. When Kung Fu Thon, who I love, is leading your team in scoring, you are up shit creek, pal. Anyway, speaking of up shit creek, do you agree with Stephen A. Smith, Cleveland, about Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons not getting better this year? Yeah, nah, look, Stephen A. Smith had a giant rant about Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and, like, Ben Simmons not getting better and, like, coming into the league thinking he deserves to be an all-star, and then fucking Nick Wright, that dipshitted fucking asshole with Howard Beck talking about how Kobe proved that you could get better every single fucking year and if you worked on your game. It's like, I don't know, Howard Beck and Nick fucking Wright, you big nose dipshit. Like, maybe don't invoke the name of just a recently deceased fucking legend to prove a fucking shitty point that's wrong? Ben Simmons is fucking clearly better this year. He's basically a defensive player of the year. Are you fucking kidding me? His playmaking's way better. He's way more in control all the fucking time. It's like, just because he's not fucking dropping three bombs left, right, and center doesn't mean he's not getting better, you dipshits. Same with you, Stephen A. Smith. And Embiid, look, I feel like he's better too, but he's just up and down. That's the problem. And then he cops like a weird little injury and he's knocked out for like 8 games or whatever. And it's hard to sort of then get back into rhythm. So it stinks that he's up and down, but he'll be fine, I think. Anyway, that said, after his Instagram post, does Joel Embiid force his way to Miami? Yeah, no. You know what? I could see something like that actually happening. I feel like as much as Joel Embiid loves Philly, depending on how this season finishes and how good Philly looked sans Embiid, how much money they've already still got tied up in Horford, if Miami were like, here's Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo, I'd do that in a fucking heartbeat. If it was Bam and Duncan Robinson, I'd be like, fuck, maybe. You know? What do you think? Miami's got a lot of interesting sort of weird pieces. I mean, obviously, it's not going to happen until next year or this offseason at least. But if Philly crashes out and Bede sucks in the playoffs again or something like that and Simo looks like a fucking gun, I don't know. Maybe Embiid forces his way out. Who knows? Anyway, finally, did the Mavs fuck up by releasing Rowdy? Yeah, nah, of fucking course they did. I don't know who they think Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is, but if you expect him to do it, like, do they think he's a lockdown defender? Have they watched Charlotte any time in the last 4 years? Like, as much of a fucking plus on defense he might be, or you think he is fucked on offense. So, but he can't hit the odd corner three now. It's like, okay, but that's fine. Best of luck, basically him playing as your center from here on out. Like, what are you doing? Just release fucking Justin Jackson or JJ fucking Barea. Why the fuck would you get rid of Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, an absolute dead-eye gun three-point shooter that you need around Luka? Makes no fucking sense. No fucking sense. Kills me. The Mavs, you fucked up. I don't want to have to put the Rowdy curse on you, but it might have to happen. All right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Look at me.
While I think that Brett Brown is a problem on Philly more so than Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid, and Stephen A. Smith will yell about that until the cows come home, it's like, all right, well, look, it does. Coaching does come down to instigating, installing your systems, your beliefs, getting players to play hard, do what you ask, and that's not happening so much seemingly in Philly. The thing is, what are you going to do, fire him now? Do you think that's going to make it better? Nah. Like, who out, and especially who out there is right now is better? Like, nobody. Tibbs? Fizz? Like, clearly you've got to ride this out this year, see how it ends up. Then it might be time to pull the fucking ripcord. But until then, you're stuck with the weird fucking accented one. And to be honest, he's hoping he fucking figures it out, because it'd be good to get him firing on all cylinders coming into Tokyo. Because let's step on into Outback Takehouse. Because it's Tuesday at our back, and you know what that means. Oh, yep. I'm putting up some more job ads on seek.com.au because we've just lost it. Most of our staff catching this fucking cassowary. But I tell you what, this bastard is delicious. He took down 9 of our staff members. I've got to write some condolence fucking letters to the families. But this cassowary casserole is fucking delicious. And it's only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, if the US don't take more than 2 big men to the Olympics, Australia will beat them. And if not Australia, then someone. Because LeBron and Chris Paul will not be getting extra gold medals this year. And also, LeBron's not going to play. Space Jam will probably premiere, he'll be in the finals, and nah, why does he then bounce to Japan for the Olympics like a fucking week and a half later? Get the fuck out of here. Only at Outback. Yeah, interesting question about the availability of some of the top dudes. They're going all the way to the finals. Do you really think they're going to play in the Olympics like 2 weeks later? Don't know, man. Don't know. All right, let's go to the Australian Player Watch right after these ones.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, Australian Player Watch is getting shorter by the day. Jingling Joe Ingles today in the win versus Dallas. 7 points, 2 of 8 shooting, 1 of 7 from downtown, but 8 assists, point Jingles. 3 rebounds, 3 assists, crushed it. Had a nice chat with Rowdy after the game, and then Rowdy got fucking cut. I'm not blaming Jingles. I think it was a nice touching moment. The Jingles was like, hey, what's going on, man? And yeah, Rowdy didn't play, didn't even suit up. So it was a bit of a tough one. But anyway, who else do we have today? We had Patty Thrills in the loss to the Nuggets. 11 points, 4 of 7 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 turnover, but not in there during crunch time, which is a goddamn shame. Anyway, but the crowning jewel in today's Australian Player Watch was Kung Fu Thon versus Charlotte. Kung Fu Thon, Kung Fu kicking his fucking way to a high-scoring game for the Detroit Basketball Pistons. 12 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 5 of 10 shooting. Absolutely crushed it. Kung Fu kicking motherfuckers through plate glass windows there in Charlotte. Amazing. Well, actually, it was in Detroit, and they lost. But still, good job, Thon. Can't believe he led the team in scoring. That was amazing. I believe that's the second time in his career he's done that. So, good shit. Only his second double-double for the year as well, but amazing stuff. Good job, Kung Fu Thon. And obviously, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff did not play today against the Utah Jazz, which I thought was a bit weird, especially, you know, you've got a whole bunch of garbage time in that game. And yeah, then he gets cut straight after. So blow it out your ass, Dallas. All right. Shane Hill, shoot a shot, light him up award. Let's do that one. What do you reckon? Love it. Because it's, what is it? It's Tuesday. What do we do on Tuesdays?
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I'm healed. Oh, how about we dedicate this one also just to Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. We do have another one though, but it's not going to be just Ryan Brockoff. But in his NBA career to date, because I do not believe it is over, I believe he shall keep on playing. Played 59 games as Rowdy, and he has shot 40.3% from three for the career. That is amazing. Pretty bloody good. Coming in 10 minutes a game. Do you know how hard it is to come in off the bench and be a dead-eye assassin anyway? On you, Rowdy. So let's hope that he keeps getting out there and kicking some ass and taking some names. On your Rowdy. All right, but the other Shane Hill shoot-a-shoot-shoot-a-shot light-em-up award, you know that Ryan Rowdy Brockoff will, but also Dame Lillard. Over his last 10 games, he's shooting 51.5% from the floor, 51.5% from three, and 91.6% from the free throw line, making Dame the first player in NBA history to average 40 points a game with 50-50-90 shooting splits. Absolutely amazing. Damian Lillard, you are a Shane Hill from Oakland. I love it. And Ryan Brockoff is basically just a taller Shane Hill. So anyway. All right, let's do the Patty Mills Game Day Bowler Game Day Twitter check-in. Oh, I'm just going to keep fucking making myself sad at this point, aren't I? Yeah. I mean, it's the Ryan Rowdy Brockoff sad tweet of the day. Been a pleasure. Thank you to the Dallas Mavs for the opportunity. Thank you for the fans for all your support. Thank you coaches who have helped guide me, and a special thank you to all my teammates. Enjoyed every day going to work with you guys. Who knows what the future holds. On you, Rowdy. All class, all the way. And then a very, very, very nice one from Jingling Joe Ingles, who retweeted that saying, you'll be back, brother. Love heart emoji. Love yous. All right, good stuff. All right, let's do some game previews before I get too sad.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem.
I'll tell you what, it's how it goes, eh? Sometimes someone gets cut from your team. All right, today we went, so this is the picks and previews for NBA Australia. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. Their payouts are awesome. Love that. We went 4 of 9 today, but it was a very, 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 very close run thing, I'll tell you what, because we missed out on, I believe, Orlando. No, we won Orlando. Missed out on Minnesota by 1 point. We missed out on Milwaukee by 1 point, and we missed out on by Denver by 0.5 point. That is fucking brutal. So, yeah, there's not much difference apparently between going 7 of 9 and 4 of 9. Anyway, for the year, we're 404 of 728 picks. So, not bad. Not bad. Good size. All right. So, let's have a look at the 5 games we've got for tomorrow. What do you reckon? A couple of good ones. A couple of rip snorters, in fact. The Jordan Bowl. That's right, it's Bulls Wizards, a.k.a. the Otto Porter Bowl, a.k.a. the Thomas Satoransky Bowl, a.k.a. the Ben Wallace Bowl. Who else? Look, Wiz actually somehow favorited in this game by 3 points. That's because the Wizards are giving teams absolute fucking hell. And the Bulls, look, they played hard against Philly, but they don't really have too much in the way of anyone good. Apart from Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine, Wendell, Lowry, they're all hurt. I might have to go with the Wiz in this one at home, so give me the Wiz minus three. Clippers at Sixers, a ripper of a game. I'm going to take the Sixers minus one at home. They are terrifying at home in the Sixers, and I feel like... Look, the Clippers are a bit weird. They're a bit squirrely. I feel like with all this talk of Simmons and Embiid, Embiid comes out and particularly smashes the fucking Clippers. So, see how we go with that one. Sixers minus one. Blazers, Pelicans. Oh, awesome game. We've got Zion. We've got amazing stuff going. Dame is on a tear. Just mentioned 50-50, 90. That said, Blazers going to the Pelicans. I reckon there's a bit of a fucking edge about the Blazers right now. I'm going to take them plus two. That always backfires on me, though. Every time I actually trust in the Blazers, what do? They fuck me. It's bullshit. Anyway, I don't learn, so give me the Blazers plus two. Spurs, Thunder, give me the Thunder minus seven. The Spurs are a rabble at the moment. And finally, Celtics, Houston. Love this. This is going to be fun. I'm going to take the Celtics plus 2.5. I can't believe they're getting points, even if they are on the road in Houston. I feel like the Celtics just have too many weapons and probably a way too efficient defense for Houston to really go hammer and tong and kick their ass. So give me Boston over Houston. Plus 2.5. So there you go. To wrap it up, Wiz minus 3, Philly minus 1, Blazers plus 2, Thunder minus 7, and Celtics plus 2.5. There you go. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up. Get around their NBA specials. If you're going to spend some shekels on NBA, do it there. playup.com.au/NBA Australia. And that's it for today. Oh, what a sad episode. Fuck. It's alright, I'll be in a better mood tomorrow once we find out that Rowdy's signed with somebody. What do you reckon? Yeah, talking into existence. Nice. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow anyway with all the usual dumbassery. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey IGs. We'll have all the Rowdy news that you can handle. We'll all over the socials on the weekend. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Check us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Google Play, whatever app you use on your Android phone, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. If you can rate or review, please do. Come on, help us out. Don't be a fucking coward. Big thanks to From It Like the Fucking Mavs for not playing Rowdy enough. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out the new band House Hats. Their album Running Out of Time is out now and it's awesome. Let's go check out Plovers. They're fucking great too. Also, big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey, and remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, we're going to close out with a brand new Jingles HR. Because fucking why not? He's going to answer a question from Leon in New York. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And later, hosen. G'day, Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, where we come up with HR solutions for you and your problems. Yep, I'm not just a dead set Aussie legend and the owner of a lot of real estate in Paul George's head. When I'm not sinking threes, talking trash and blowing kisses, I'm the world's leading HR expert. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? And it comes from a Leon in New York. Dear Joseph, my name is Leon and I'm about to start a new job in New York City. Unfortunately, my new place of employment has been embattled, shall we say, over the past, 20 to 50 years. Oh, geez, that sounds a bit rough, Leon. And the gentleman who runs it, while paying me handsomely, is also known to be a bit of a thin-skinned trust fund kid livewire who doesn't know his ass from his elbow and plays more in his band than he does with his business. Jesus. Anyway, do you have any advice as to how I might navigate my impending executive appointment? Yours truly, Leon in New York. Oh, wow. There's a lot of big words in that one there, Leon. And it's a bit of a rough one, I'll tell you there, mate. Look, Leon, we've all had bad bosses, you know? Like, I still don't talk to a certain doc in LA. And also the bloke I did a paper run for in Happy Valley back in Adelaide when I was a kid was a real fucking prick. So anyway, I'm just saying he probably pushed me into going into HR. Anyway, as a HR expert, I can really only recommend that you need to make sure that you have hiring privileges for people of power and influence in this new company. Those who also have direct reports to you, and make sure that your only direct report is to your boss. That way you can shape everything to his satisfaction while actually trying to fix his mess, you know? So you just need to go out there, make some smart hires, get a circle of trusted employers and advisors to help you navigate these muddy waters, and then you might stand a chance. But most of all, just make sure you stay results-oriented and instigate achievable but challenging-based KPIs for everyone in the organization and for yourself. Can't leave yourself off this there, Leon. And hopefully, your ensuing process will work out. But yeah, bad bosses, mate. It's a tough spot to be in. Still, I hope that helps there, Leon. All right, so that's all we've got time for this week on Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Get a job up ya. Yeah.